This episode of the Real Fit Podcast is brought to you by the Real Nourished newsletter. Real Nourished, reinventing your relationship with food, is for you if you are ready to stop micromanaging your food and exercise so you can start fully showing up to your life. Each biweekly issue features evidence-based tools that will help reduce your food-related anxiety, improve your body image, and help you embrace exercise as a form of nourishment, not punishment. When you subscribe, you'll get my free guide, 11 things you can do right now to feel better about your body. To get in on it, just click on the link in the show notes or visit my website, pam-moore.com. Welcome to the Real Fit Podcast, featuring conversations with women athletes about body image, confidence, enoughness, and so much more. This is a show for any woman who has ever asked herself, am I enough? In a world that's trying to tell us that we're not good enough, we're not thin enough, we're not successful enough, we're not fast enough, we're not strong enough, I am here to tell you that you are enough just as you are. And my goal is to share stories and insights that will inspire you and let you know you're not alone. I'm your host, Pam Moore. I'm an occupational therapist turned freelance journalist with bylines in outlets including The Washington Post, Time, The Guardian, Runner's World, Self Magazine, Bicycling, Outside, and many others. I'm also a two-time Ironman finisher, a six-time marathoner, a mom of two, and an intuitive eating coach. I'm super excited to share today's episode with you. Before we dive in, I have a quick request. If you have been enjoying this podcast, or if you end up enjoying this particular episode, it would mean so much to me if you haven't already, if you would subscribe to this podcast or follow it, rate it and review it. That helps other people find it, helps me spread that message that you're already enough. Or if you're inclined, share the episode on social media. If you do, I would love if you would tag me. My handle on Instagram is at PamMoore303. On Twitter, I'm at PamMooreWriter. With no further ado, let's do this thing. Hey, welcome back to the Real Fit Podcast. Today, I'm talking about the first principle of intuitive eating: reject the diet mentality. If you're looking for a more basic overview of all 10 principles of intuitive eating, those are in my most recent solo episode. That's episode 44. I'm going to link to that in the show notes. And I want to point out, there is no mandate that you do all the steps of intuitive eating in a specific order. Once you really get into this work, you're going to find that it's messy and you're probably going to be working on different principles at the same time, because for most of us, progress just is not linear. Problems, as you probably know, don't like to stay in their separate little boxes. They tend to leak out into other problems and follow you around like the pink stain in the Cat in the Hat. Do you remember that? But here's the deal. You cannot clean up the stain until you, number one, see it. You have to notice it first. And then number two, you have to decide that it is a problem, that it is not serving you. And so I think that's a great segue into intuitive eating principle one: reject the diet mentality. Part one. I'm going to divide this episode into at least two parts because rejecting the diet mentality is a lot. So part one of principle one, reject the diet mentality, is what is the diet mentality, also known as diet culture? What is this? For so many of us, the diet mentality has been so deeply ingrained for so long that we don't even notice it. For many of us, it is a way of life. When I started exploring intuitive eating, for the first time in years, I was eating what I wanted to eat instead of what I thought I should eat. And I have to tell you, I felt a little unmoored. There were many times when I missed the security and the predictability of all the rules that I'd put in place for myself. I think the fact that I felt so unanchored during that time just speaks to the fact that this way of thinking that there are good foods and bad foods and foods you should eat, foods you shouldn't eat, foods that you shouldn't eat too much of, all of these things are part of diet culture, and it's so ingrained in so many of us that it might sound silly to say, oh, you have to notice this before you can reject it, but it's everywhere, which means we're kind of like fish in water when it comes to diet culture. So picking it out requires a certain degree of vigilance. When I talk about dieting, diets, or the diet mentality, I'm not only talking about something like the WW, formerly known as Weight Watchers, they've rebranded, or Jenny Craig, or the Atkins diet, or the South Beach diet, or anything that has diet in the name. Hey, it's Pam with a quick interruption. If you are ready to heal your relationship with food, exercise, your body, if you're ready to stop stressing about the scale, if you're ready to stop trying to shrink your body and have a much, much, much bigger life where you can really be present, I can help you. I am an intuitive eating coach with a background of over 10 years as an occupational therapist. I've also done health and fitness writing for publications including The Washington Post, Self, Runner's World, Bicycling, Outside, The Guardian, Time. And I have also, as you probably know, been on my own journey to heal my relationship with food and body image. If you want to know more about how I can help, check out my website. I'm at pam-more.com. You can also just scroll down in the show notes. There's a link there. Also, I talk about all this stuff in my bi-weekly newsletter. If you're not already a subscriber, scroll on down in the show notes. Just click on the link to sign up. When you do, you'll get my free download, 11 things you can do right now to feel better about your body. I'm also talking about any other way of eating that for reasons other than allergies, health reasons, religious reasons, ethical reasons, diets that are restrictive. Anything that tells you when, what, or how much to eat is a diet. And I'm going to say that again because I think it's really important. Anything that tells you when, what, or how much to eat is a diet. I think I read that for the first time in Caroline Dooner's book, The Fuck It Diet, which I will link to in the show notes. And that was a real light bulb moment for me. I honestly don't know anyone who would actually say, I'm on a diet. Maybe that's because I live in Boulder and here people are, you know, not eating this and not eating that and only eating this because they can say that it's for wellness or health reasons. And that's a thing out here. Nobody will blink at you if you say that. But I think the general perception of dieting in 2022 is that it's something that our mothers and our grandmothers did. When I think about dieting, I think about Tab soda, Snackwell's fat-free cookies that we were all eating in the 90s, TCBY fat-free frozen yogurt that in high school we thought we could just eat it by the bucket full because like it was fat-free. As long as it doesn't have fat, it's fine. It's healthy. Today, health and wellness have taken the place of dieting. The quote-unquote lifestyle plans that claim to be able to help you feel better, have more energy, be more confident, and look better, they always include that, right? You're going to be more confident and you're going to look better. They are still banking on the idea that looking better, feeling better, and being more confident are the natural byproducts of weight loss and weight loss alone. The idea is that looking good, feeling good, and being confident and being at a higher weight are mutually exclusive. Like you can't possibly look good, feel good, or be confident if you're still at your same weight or at a higher weight. A lot of the quote-unquote lifestyles that are actually diets, those are what Evelyn Tribbley and Eileen Resch call pseudo-dieting in the fourth edition of Intuitive Eating, which is a great book. I'm going to link to that in the show notes. Highly suggest you get a copy if you don't have a copy. But I'm just going to list a bunch of examples of pseudo-dieting or lifestyle plans or these restrictive plans that pretend not to be diets but definitely are. And some of these do overlap, but I think it's important to note them all anyway because sometimes depending on how you hear something, it will land differently. So one type of pseudo-diet is counting carbs or counting macros. Been there, done that. It's the absolute worst. You will never convince me it's not a diet. I have seen these plans advertised as flexible dieting, but trust me, there is nothing flexible about it. Then there's eating only what you consider to be safe foods. That might mean avoiding gluten, dairy, sugar, anything that comes out of a bag or a package, could be avoiding white foods. Some people call this clean eating. Again, been there, done that. And it is definitely another diet that is pretending not to be a diet. I want to add a caveat. I mentioned this before, but if you need to avoid certain foods for health reasons, for ethical reasons, for religious reasons, that's not a diet. Then there's eating only at certain times of day or intermittent fasting. This might mean skipping breakfast, could mean not eating after dinner, even if you're hungry. Again, been there, done that. That's definitely a diet. When you repent for eating something bad or eating too much, this might mean eating less the next day or exercising more and or feeling very guilty about what you ate or being preoccupied with what you ate at the last meal or preoccupied with what you're eating right before you go on vacation because you want to, or, you know, maybe before an event because you want to lose weight. Again, been there, done that. It is seriously not fun. It's definitely a diet. Then there's cutting back on food, particularly when your clothes feel tight or when you're, again, getting ready for a vacation or an event. Been there, done that. And I'm here to tell you it always backfires because deprivation always leads to overdoing it. And I'm definitely going to cover that in a future episode. Another form of pseudo dieting is using drinks like coffee or diet soda to blunt your body's hunger cues. And that's another one that I've tried. Limiting carbs. Yep. Been there, done that. You see this all the time. This is particularly problematic for athletes when the truth is that carbs are your body's most readily available source of energy. You definitely need them, not just before, after, and during longer workouts, but you need them in general so that you'll have enough energy to recover. Putting on a food act in public, that would mean eating what you think you should eat. I put should in air quotes when you're out with friends or family. That might look like ordering a salad when you really want a burger or taking one small plate of food at a buffet when you really want to go up a couple more times and try everything. But you want to look like you're doing the quote unquote right thing or the virtuous thing. Another form of pseudo dieting is comparing yourself to someone else who is dieting and trying to eat like they do. And in a culture that associates what we eat with virtue and morals, it's very easy to get pulled into the comparison trap. There's basing your food decisions on what you think you should eat rather than what you actually want to eat, or based on what you already ate or what you plan to eat later. So this might include thoughts like, I can't be hungry, I just ate, or maybe avoiding potatoes because you already had bread that day. Another form of pseudo-dieting is becoming a vegan or a vegetarian or going gluten or dairy-free for the express purpose of weight loss. There's also being super inflexible in the name of healthy eating. That might involve looking at menus in advance, avoiding eating at other people's homes, bringing your own food to parties, or eating what you think of as healthy in advance so that you don't have to eat at the social event. And yeah, you might feel a lot better when you eat foods that are nutrient dense, when you prioritize those foods in your diet, but unless you have a medical reason to do so, when that drive takes up a significant portion of your mental real estate and interferes with joining friends and family for meals, it's actually not healthy because mental health is part of your health. It's a huge part of your health. Enjoying food with others that's how we socialize. That's part of what it is to be human. And so avoiding that on a more holistic level, just it's not healthy. And yet, we've been told by diet culture that a lot of this is normal. What we think of as normal eating, like intermittent fasting, you know, skipping breakfast, avoiding bread, drinking water when we're actually hungry, these are what a lot of women's magazines and websites are telling us we should be doing. This is what a lot of our friends are doing. So this seems normal. And I think, again, I'm not saying that no one should ever be discriminating about what they eat. I'm not saying no one should ever avoid bread or avoid cheese or avoid nuts. There are reasons why it absolutely makes sense to avoid certain foods. And you can absolutely be an intuitive eater and avoid certain foods. The question is, what is the energy and intention behind your decision not to eat that food or maybe to eat less of that food? There tend to be two main drivers behind most decisions, and those are fear and love. You might ask yourself, am I avoiding this food because I'm afraid of what will happen if I eat it? Or am I avoiding it because I love how I feel when I don't eat it? Those are good questions to ask yourself. And if it's not immediately obvious to you what the answer is, here are some other questions you can ask yourself to figure out what's the energy here. And well, let me back up. Usually you can feel the energy in your body, but we're not always used to feeling that energy, or we're not always used to honoring that energy because all these articles that say things like, when you're having a craving for something sweet, eat a crunchy apple. When you're hungry, maybe you're just thirsty, try a glass of water. Things like that, which are basically telling us, don't trust your own body, don't listen to your own body. Many of us are so accustomed to avoiding our own body's cues that when it comes time to tuning into our heart to feel what does this decision feel like, it's not always easy to feel it. But other questions you can ask yourself to figure out, is this like a love thing or a fear thing? Would I eat this way if I were not afraid of gaining weight? Am I making this choice because I love and respect my body or because I'm afraid of how my body will look if I don't? Another one you might ask is, what's a bigger factor in this decision? How this food will make me feel or how it might affect my weight? And I want to be clear. Another question you could ask is, if I let go of the shoulds and tune into my own self, would I make the same decision? And if it's still hard for you to answer these questions and to figure out what your own intuition is saying, please go easy on yourself. One of the principles of intuitive eating, which we'll get to later, is about self-compassion. It's really important not to beat yourself up if you can't figure out where your motivation is coming from. We live in a world where diet culture is so prominent and so loud that it just naturally makes it easy to hear that voice that's outside of us versus the inner voice that's always with us. We've become accustomed, especially as women, to listening to what's around us instead of what's happening inside of us. So please be gentle with yourself as you are learning to tune back into your body. Give it some time and start really small. Maybe start with something that's not as charged as food. For example, instead of just reading what your book club is reading, go to the library one day and just see what calls your attention. Don't worry about what's a bestseller or what's on the lucky day shelf or what the librarian's top picks are. See what covers grab you. Grab books that you like. Maybe next time you get a text inviting you to do something, pay attention to how you feel when you get the invitation. Is it a hell yes that you feel with your whole body? Or do you feel your body kind of tighten and contract and then suddenly you're in your head trying to think of a reason why you can't go to this thing or volunteer for this thing when you don't really need a reason? The reason is your body just told you that you don't want to. Those are great ways to practice tuning into yourself. The truth is nobody breaks out of the diet mentality overnight. I have been at this for 4 years and I definitely still have my days where I have to stop myself and go, wait a minute. Is this my heart talking or is this diet culture talking? I want to give you a little bit of homework. I want you to notice diet culture wherever you see it. You don't have to do anything else. There's no need to get into arguments with anybody in your life who's still on the diet train. You don't have to point it out to anyone else. And you don't have to try to change it. I just want you to pretend you're like a high school or middle school student in science class and you're doing a science experiment. Do you remember in your lab notebook you had an observations section? I just want you to note your observations. And that might look like keeping a note in your phone in the notes section where you can write it down. Maybe you leave yourself a voice memo if that works for you. If you're old school like me, you could have a little notebook in your purse and you could literally write it down with a pen. But I want you to start looking for examples of diet culture and diet mentality. And I'm telling you, you will find them everywhere. You'll probably notice on menus, there'll be items called the sinful chocolate cake, crackers that might say guilt-free on the label, people in your office making casual comments about, oh, it's Monday, I overdid it this weekend, I'm going to have a salad. Pick up on those things. Before we go, one thing I want to be really clear about is I am not judging anybody who is pursuing intentional weight loss. I have thin privilege. And by thin privilege, I mean I have the luxury of walking onto a bus, a subway, a plane, and nobody giving me the side eye or worse. I never get harassed when I'm exercising. I don't have people congratulating me or saying good for you when I go to the gym, which I have heard is not an uncommon experience for women in larger bodies. What I want to be is a resource for people who have decided that dieting isn't really serving them anymore. Their time and energy could be better spent focusing on other things. I'm not here to convince anybody to stop dieting. If it is working for you, if you like it, I'm not here to judge. In my next solo episode, now that you have recognized what diet mentality is, we're going to talk about how to break free from it. I'm really excited about that one. I hope you are too. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate you sticking with me till the end. If you liked what you heard, it would mean so much to me if you haven't already, if you would rate this podcast, give it a nice review, follow it, subscribe. And if you listen on Spotify, or even if you don't, you can now rate podcasts on Spotify, which is a relatively new thing. If you've done all those things already, I'm sending you a huge virtual hug. You can also support the show by telling a friend, text them a link to the episode, or post it on social media. And don't forget to tag me. My Instagram handle is at PamMoore303. And on Twitter, I am at PamMooreWriter. A shout out means so much to me. Additionally, if you are feeling like you are ready to change your relationship with food and your body and exercise, and you want to make space for the things in your life that really, really matter, I can help you. I am an occupational therapist with a certification as an intuitive eating coach, and it would be my pleasure to help you clear away all the mental clutter that comes with trying to manipulate the shape and size of your body. You can get all the information you need on that on my website, pam-moore.com. Again, that's pam-moore.com. And if you would like my free guide, it's called 11 Things You Can Do Right Now to Feel Better About Your Body. You can get that on my website too. When you sign up for my newsletter at pam-moore.com, you're going to get that free gift. And the newsletter comes, it's only every other week, and it's always a juicy tidbit, something pertaining to self-love, self-compassion, self-acceptance, intuitive eating, all that good stuff, and some links to the best things I've found, usually pertaining to those topics. Occasionally there's an outlier, but it's all good stuff, and I try to keep it super short, and that lands in inboxes every other Tuesday. Again, thank you so much for being here. Till next time, keep it real.